on the cross, he said, "It is finished." There was nothing more that he could do. He did everything he needed to do, and he completed it.
Yes.
Now that he's finished, that means you and I still have something to do. And you know what he's doing right now? He's sitting at God's right hand.
Yes.
And he is interceding.
Yes.
He is leading the grandstands in heaven. You know that there's a grandstands in heaven? Those who are in the Lord who died and went on before us,
yes.
They're in heaven. They're sitting in the grandstands,
yes.
And they're cheering their relatives on. They're cheering their friends on.
Yes.
They're cheering their neighbors on. They're cheering their co-workers on.
We rejoice.
Hallelujah.
With them. Yes.
You can't lose.
Amen.
Say that with me. Say,
I cannot lose.
I always win.
I always win.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you,
in
Lord.
In Jesus, you always win.
Yes.
Amen. You got anything else?
Hallelujah.
We're good. Otherwise,
right.
We'll sing the whole time. We'll sing
praise
at the end,
God.
Maybe. We'll rejoice at the
Amen.
End.
Amen. Well, you may have your seats
Thank
if you,
you
can.
Father.
Praise God. I just want to say a few things about, and then we're going to get into the Word. In the book of Acts, there are 28 chapters. And so, for the next 28 services, we are dedicating those 28 services. So this will be service number 2, because we started on Wednesday, of just following the Holy Spirit, allowing Him to do what He wants to do. Amen? And we're looking for the Holy Spirit to move and to do things. You know, He's the one that works in our hearts. He's the one that takes the Word of God and makes it alive on the inside of us. And so we're continuing with that. And this morning, there was two words that came to me while I was preparing for this morning. If you go to Acts chapter 2, and I want you to look at verses 45 through 47. I think we experienced this already to some degree. But with God, you know, there's always more. Just when you think you've reached it, there's another it. I mean, you could read John 3:16 100 times and each time get something deeper, get something greater, get something more meaningful out of it. Why? Because God's Word is alive. All right? And in Acts chapter 2, verse 45, see, Acts was where the church began. This is where they had some formal things. This is after Jesus had left and He poured out the Holy Spirit on all flesh. And now we are still carrying on. Did you, you know, in one sense, the book of Acts is still being written. And you are very active participants in what God is writing today. Amen? Because we are the church, aren't we? The called out ones, the ecclesia. And in Acts chapter 2, verse 45, well, let's look at verse 44. And all they that believed. So who's he talking to? Believers. You know, in order for the things of God to work for you, you must believe. No one can believe for you. You must choose to believe, choose to trust, okay? All that believed were together and had all things in common. One thing you'll find about believers is they don't mind sharing. And they don't get nervous about sharing. And sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. God was using the people in the early church to meet the needs of each other. Amen? Wouldn't it be awesome to go to a brother and say, let me pay off your mortgage for you. Let me pay off that car payment for you. Now, they had to have means to be able to do this. They sold some things, all right? I'm getting to my point here. And they, continuing daily with one accord. Everybody say daily.
Daily.
So they were having church every day. Okay? With one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God. Notice, with gladness. Everybody say gladness. Now, when you say gladness, you got to say it with a smile. Gladness. And I think that there was a level of rejoicing today, but there's more rejoicing to be done. And singleness of heart, they were in one purpose. All right, they didn't have any hidden motive. Praising God. I'll tell you what, there's something about praising God. God desires praise. He desires true worshipers to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And having favor with who? All people, right? See, when you praise God, He'll do favors for you. He'll be good to you. And notice, it was important to have favor with the people, because notice what happened. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So the two words that came to me this morning are rejoicing and yielding. Anytime that you endeavor to do anything for God, you have to yield to Him. Now, how many have traveled and you've seen a yield sign? And when you come to a yield sign, you don't necessarily have to stop unless someone is coming in that lane. But what you're doing is, if you slow down when you come to a yield sign, and you're giving way to the vehicle that's coming in that lane, if there's a vehicle there. If there's no vehicle there, then you can continue right on. Amen? So when we yield to God, we take time to give way to what God wants to do, no matter what it sounds like or seems like in our mind. Amen? For example, while during worship, if God speaks to your heart and just says, dance, then you, as the person yielding, you would have to give way to God. You'd have to slow down what you're doing, and you might have to change directions, because that's what it means to yield. This word means to give way, to give up, to defer, to surrender, to give in, and finally to stop resisting. There are too many times when God wants to do something. It could be in a service. It could be in a person's life. It could be in any situation. But we resist for whatever reason. Maybe we're afraid. Maybe we don't know. Maybe we're concerned about what people think. What will they think of me if I do that? Then you need to yield. You need to give way to the opinions of others and ask yourself, what would God think if He tells you to do something simple and you resist that? Do you think He's going to give you anything more complex? If you're faithful in what? Little. He'll make you faithful in much. Or He'll make you ruler of much, right? But if you're not faithful with the little, that means the little commands, the little instructions, the little things that God speaks to our heart, the little adjustments that he leads us to make. How many has ever done something besides me? And after you do it, your heart says, boy, what are you doing? Huh? I don't know if your heart speaks to you like that, but it speaks to me like that. That's the Holy Spirit. See, the voice of the Holy Spirit is your conscience. And how many know that we can resist our conscience? But the more we resist our conscience, the harder our heart becomes. And the harder it is for God to lead and guide us. And when we can't follow his instructions, we miss his blessings. Now, this was not what I had prepared for today. I am in uncharted waters. And I am following the Holy Spirit. Because I believe that he distinctly spoke to my heart. I didn't hear an audible voice, but just inside my heart, these two words. Yield and rejoice. If you want to rejoice, you're going to have to yield. You're going to have to give way. You're going to have to stop resisting. Amen? Let me just give you a few scriptures. 2 Chronicles chapter 30. Verses 8 and 9. It says, now do not be stiff-necked as your fathers were, but yield yourselves to the Lord. You know, people like to do their way. Well, this is my way. Yeah, but the Lord is offering you his way. And if you're going to hold on to your way, you can do that. But in holding on to your way, you miss out on God's way, which means you miss out on God's blessing. That means then when trouble comes, it's going to have to be you to sustain yourself. But yield yourselves to the Lord. Enter his sanctuary, which he has sanctified forever. Serve the Lord your God, that the fierceness of his wrath may turn from you. Oh, God never gets angry. He's a loving God. Why don't you ask Satan how it was when he resisted God and tried to exalt himself above God? What happened to him? He got kicked out, didn't he? For if you return to the Lord, see, in order to return to the Lord, you've got to yield, don't you? See, you were going the wrong way. And the Lord comes and he points out the way that you're going is wrong. Now you've got a choice to make. See, now you can't use an excuse. Now that you know it's wrong, and if you continue to do the wrong, then you've made a choice to resist God and not to yield to him. At 9:30, I was printing these scriptures out because I didn't have these prepared. But I believe that this is what God wants. Amen? If you return to the Lord, your brethren and your children will be treated with compassion by those who lead them captive so that they may come back to this land. You know, whether you resist or whether you yield to God will affect generations. It doesn't just affect you. The choices we make will affect our children and our grandchildren. But notice what he said, for the Lord your God is gracious and merciful. Aren't you glad that God is gracious and merciful? How can you not yield to someone who's gracious and merciful? And will not turn his face from you if you return to him. Notice there's conditions. While you turn from him, his face is against you. But when you make the choice and you yield to return to him, he's with you. Go with me to James chapter 3. And believe it or not, I'm going to tie this in with forgiveness today. I didn't know how that was going to happen until during worship. But isn't God good? See, Jesus said this while you're turning to James chapter 3, verse 17. Jesus said, "The words that I speak, they are spirit and they are life." He said, "The flesh profits nothing." Say that with me. Say, "The flesh profits nothing." So when we do things in the flesh, don't expect a good return, because you're not going to get a profit. You're going to get a loss, actually. The more we react from the flesh, the more we feed the flesh, the less return we're going to get. Okay? So whenever God wants to move, there are two very important elements: the Word and the Spirit. See, and when we combine them, a supernatural explosion occurs. So I'm going to give you the Word, but then we're going to yield to the Holy Spirit. Now, when the Holy Spirit comes to your heart and He points something out that's wrong, don't we all love to be corrected? Amen? But see, He loves you so much. I love my two boys so much that if I didn't correct them, it would be like I didn't love them. Just because you love someone doesn't mean you won't correct them. It's because you love them that you will correct them. And God is the same way. See, He sees that what you're doing is hindering from you having His very best. And He wants you to have His best. So He, in order to have His best, though, we got to correct that. But to correct that, we got to yield to that. We've got to give way. We've got to surrender. We've got to stop resisting. James chapter 3, verse 17. "But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle." Now notice this phrase. "Easy to be entreated." The New King James says, "willing to yield." Easy to be entreated. Say this with me. Say, "Yes, Lord." When God tells you something, I don't care what it is, I don't care how He says it, when He says something, your response should be, "Yes, Lord." And then your actions should reinforce your response. So the wisdom from God is easily entreated. It's willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. "Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace." To yield. It's so important that we yield. Now, I'm normally a teacher. And as a teacher, I use notes. So when I'm not using my notes, it's uncharted territory for me. If you've ever are with me studying, see, before I had my computer program, I'd have book, paper. But now when I have everything on the computer, I have reference books, I have dictionaries, I have different versions of the Bible. And man, it's like a flurry of cutting and pasting. Because sometimes the Lord just gives me a scripture. Then I have to study it out. Or sometimes He'll give me a subject. Then I have to find scriptures. And then once I find the scriptures, then I have to put them in a certain order. Because there's an order that God wants to bring them out. So if you're here today, and if there's any area of resistance in your life, I simply want to say to you, stop resisting. See, a person who's willing to yield is a person who's open to new things. Because when you're yielding to God, He's got revelation. He's going to show you things you've never known. the Holy Spirit will tell you things yet to come. You know, Noah was a person who yielded to God. Because when God said, build a boat because it's going to rain, it hadn't rained on the earth. You want me to build a boat? I don't even know if he was near the sea. I mean, that boat was the size of a football field and a half. And God is telling Noah to build a boat because it's going to rain. He didn't even know what rain was. But what did he do? Yes, Lord. What did he do? He started building. And he kept building for 100 years. Because if you read the story of his life, God spoke to him when he was 500, and it began to rain when he was 600. He had to build the boat, plus he had to gather all the, you know, God brought supernaturally, one of the greatest examples of faith, but yet he yielded. Abraham. You know, Abraham wasn't too much older than Harvey and Pearl. And God came to Abraham and said, Harvey and Pearl, I'm just using you as an example, you're going to have a son. Now, they could have said, but Lord, we're past the age of that. But instead, what did Abraham do? He yielded. What happened? 25 years later, Isaac was born. When it was physically impossible because he yielded. He allowed God. So in other words, Abraham became what God spoke of him. When he said, I'm going to make you a father, he had no children. His wife couldn't even have children. But yet, because God spoke that word contained life. That word contained power. And when Abraham yielded to it, and when finally Sarah yielded to it, you know, I don't think Abraham was that great of a communicator because he didn't obviously communicate this strongly to Sarah that him and her were going to have a baby. And the communication lines got mixed up and Hagar got in there somewhere. So we've got to have a yielded heart, willing to do something you've never done. You don't have to have rhythm to dance in the Spirit. Some people, they don't want to yield. I don't know why I'm on this dancing thing, but you think, well, I don't have rhythm. Let me tell you something. When the Holy Ghost gets on you, he'll give you the rhythm. He created rhythm. But see, he'll never make you do it, but he'll offer it to you. And anyone who yields will then have the benefit or the blessing of it. When Jesus was walking on the water, and Peter said, Lord, if that's you, bid me come. Jesus said what? He didn't say, come, Peter. So anybody in that boat could have came, but only one yielded. I don't know if there was 12 in the boat. I don't know how many were in the boat. It doesn't matter, but only one yielded to the word that was spoken. Only one. And he did something that none of the other disciples have ever done. Walk on water. Say what you want about Peter. I haven't walked on water. And I even had boat shoes and it didn't help. So a person who's yielded, whatever God speaks, whatever God says, it doesn't matter how it comes. Well, I'm not going to do it because so-and-so said that. Oh, God can't speak through so-and-so? Why don't you talk to Balaam? He had a word from a donkey. Listen, are you so hard-headed that God's got to use a donkey to talk to you? I mean, God may go through that length, but come on. You're an intelligent person. And I don't think anyone here has a donkey anyway. But you do have people You may not like the messenger, but you better listen to the message. Oh, you want to pick and choose your messengers. Yeah, they had that in the Corinthian church. I'm of Paul. I'm of Apollos. And Paul's saying, I'm thankful I didn't baptize any one of you. Listen, it doesn't matter how the message comes. What matters is, are you yielding to the message? God can use any means to get the message to you that he wants to. The question is, are you going to yield when you get it? Or are you going to resist? You know, I don't care how big of a wall you build. God can crush the walls. We know that from Joshua. All right? Let me shift gears a little bit. Now, let's talk about this word rejoicing. I've seen people rejoice at a football game. People paint their bodies of their team color. When I lived in Tennessee, I lived in Cleveland, Tennessee. When they had a college game day, all you saw on the highway was orange and white. These people were so dedicated, they would paint their vehicles orange and white. But then ask them to do something for the Lord and they get all uptight about it. They'll invest more supporting their favorite team, which only lasts for a short season, and you try to get them to do that same investment for the Lord and they resist it. And the Lord is eternal. Their team is temporal. Nothing wrong. I'm not saying you shouldn't support your team, okay? But what I'm saying is that support for your team shouldn't supersede the support for the Lord. In other words, it shouldn't be more. Don't know why I said that, but to rejoice means to celebrate, to express joy. How do you express joy? Someone give me an example. If someone came to your house, knocked on your door, and said you just won $100,000. Rejoicing involves gladness, singing, joyfulness. So, 1 Chronicles 16, verses 9 through 12. And watch how this will all fit with forgiveness. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 9 through 12. Sing to him. Who are you singing to? You're not singing to your neighbor sitting next to you. I can't sing. I don't have a good voice. The Lord tells me, make a joyful noise. I'm glad about that. Amen. I got the preaching voice. My sister got the singing voice. Sing to him. Sing psalms to him. Talk of all his wondrous works. This is all part of rejoicing. Glory in his holy name. You could just get happy about Jesus, about El Shaddai, about Jehovah Rapha, about Jehovah Shalom, about Elohim. You can get excited about his name. There's something about his name. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. When you set your sights on God, faith is always with joy. You never see someone who's in faith that's depressed. Oh, this believing God is just so hard. Whoo! I don't know if I'm going to make it. I remember one time my friend in Illinois, bless his darling heart and stupid head. He was having a rough week one time. And he came to church and he was doing this. He said, my face shield is over here. My helmet's over here. He said, my belt of truth is loose, you know. He was like, oh, it's so hard to serve God. If you think so. Why don't you make a decision to rejoice? You notice he said, rejoice. That means you get to do it again until it takes, it's like an old motorcycle that you got to kick. You know, it may take more than one kick. Run, no, 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 no. Run, no, 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 no. You might have to kick it six times. Run, and then finally, it'll kick in. Amen. Sometimes you got to keep rejoicing till it kicks in. Amen. It may not kick in on the first step. It may not kick in on the second step. But you hit that fifth step, and glory to God, it's going to kick in. And don't expect God to jumpstart you. He gave his word. He gave his Holy Spirit. That's all the jumpstart you need. Come on. Seek the Lord. Verse 11. And his strength, seek his face evermore. There is no sadness in heaven. There is no sorrow in heaven. When you're looking at his face, it's light. Just one glimpse of his face will bring you out of depression like that. In the twinkling of an eye, just looking at his face will change yours. Some people need to let their face know it's time to rejoice. Okay, face, you're going to rejoice now. You know? Some of us need some spiritual fiber. We got some constipated looks on our face. You need some spiritual prune juice. Remember his marvelous works. Think of the times that God delivered you. Think back to when he saved you. Think to what he did for you. When you couldn't do it yourself. When you didn't know where to turn. When you didn't know how it was going to work out. He worked it out. Think of his marvelous works that will cause you to rejoice. His wonders and his judgments of his mouth. And rejoicing is great joy. It's not little bitty joy. It's great joy. Some of you, you may start off itty little bitty joy, but it'll keep increasing. It'll get bigger and bigger and bigger. You know, some mountain streams start off with a trickle. As the snow caps melt and that water keeps hitting. You know, sometimes it takes more than one hit to get the nail into the wood. Amen? And, you know, God has accommodated us for the hard-headed. He said, my word is like a hammer. It crushes the rock. God knows how to deal with hard-headed people. Oh, my gosh, Michael and Gabriel, what are we going to do? These people are so hard-headed. Eventually, you hit a nut long enough, that nut will crack. Rejoice. Psalm 13, verses 5 and 6. Psalm 13, verses 5 and 6. But I have trusted in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord, because he has dealt bountifully with me. Notice it had nothing to do with the situation. Everything, his rejoicing had everything to do with what God did for him. Psalm 68, verses 3 and 4. Psalm 68, verses 3 and 4. But let the righteous be sad. Let them be glad. Say, I'm glad. Being glad is that easy. If you got to count to 10 and back again to be glad, that's okay. Whatever you got to do, count it all joy when you fall into diverse trials and temptation. You got to start counting. Amen? The space shuttle doesn't take off until they count down to zero. 10, 9. I love the Carmen song, The Champion. When Satan thought he won, he knocked Jesus out, but God started counting backwards. Wait a minute, God, what are you doing? What are you doing? 9, 8, and then he rose from the dead. He took off like the space shuttle. Maybe in your counting, you got to count a little bit to get to that place where you can take off. Where are we at? Psalm 68? Yeah. Let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God. Had nothing to do with before people. Now, maybe you have a bad day or a bad week or a bad month. Maybe there's a place in your house where you can get to by yourself and make yourself rejoice. But I don't feel like I had nothing to do with what you feel. Has nothing to do with what you feel. I guarantee, though, that if you start rejoicing, your feelings will change. Yes, let them rejoice exceedingly. We need some overdosing on joy. We need some overdosing rejoicing. You can never rejoice too much. Oh, boy, that Brother Ray, I'll tell you what, he just rejoices too much. Yeah, but if you knew what he faced, you'd be rejoicing too. Hallelujah. I thank you, Lord, that he rejoices exceedingly in the name of Jesus. He's a yielded vessel, Father. Ha ha. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, you'll find that when you're rejoicing, troubles can't really stick to you. Sing to God. Sing praises to his name. Extol him who rides on the clouds. Man, that's awesome. By his name, Yah, and rejoice before him. I don't care what you think of my rejoicing. It's before him, not you. I'm not putting on a show for you. I'm doing it for him. You know, David did this when he was king. The Philistines had defeated Israel because they were in sin. And they lost the Ark of the Covenant. It's when Eli was priest, his eyes were dim. Speaking of the spiritual condition, he couldn't see. His eyes were dim. He was the priest. His sons were running rampant in the temple. And they lost the Ark of God. His grandson that was born was named Ichabod, which means the glory of the Lord has departed. And Eli fell off of his seat and broke his neck. And the Philistines, they put the ark, which contained the presence of God at that time, before their god, Dagon. And every day that they checked on Dagon, Dagon was on his face worshiping the ark. And then finally his head and hands were cut off. And they said, we got to get this ark out of here. Amen? And they had a way to bring the ark back. And David first was going to bring the ark into the temple with all the pomp and circumstance. And first of all, they were carrying the ark on a cart, which it wasn't designed to be carried on a cart. Only the priest's shoulders could carry the ark. See, when you mishandle God's presence, it can harm you. You know, we're in a different age now. We're under the age of grace, and we have the Holy Spirit to help us. You're not without a coach on the inside. He tells you what position to play. He tells you what plays to run, and he has a perfect winning record. And when you do what the coach says, you win. But you got to yield, okay? And so while this cart was on the ark, I mean, the ark was on the cart. That's putting the cart before the ark, right? When the ark was on the cart, it started to fall. And someone reached out to hold it so it wouldn't fall, and they got zapped. That's my language. That's my paraphrase. They got zapped, and he died instantly. And David said, look, I'm not moving this ark until I get my heart right. See, God, even though there is an outward expression, He's not so much concerned about the outward expression as he is the heart behind that expression. See, David wanted to do it his way. He didn't want to yield to God. Now, David was one, every time he went to battle, he would always seek God. He got out of practice seeking God first, and it brought harm. Anyway, the ark stayed at Obed-Edom's house, and while the ark was there, he was blessed. Then David, okay, he got his heart right. He sanctified himself. He purified himself. See, that's part of yielding too. It's hard to yield when you're in sin. When you're continuing to disobey God, it's very hard to yield. Because when you're in sin, you're consumed with yourself. And, David, he put on the ephod, which was a one-piece linen garment, almost like a robe. And he would bring the ark in 1,000 feet and sacrifice. Bring it in another bit and he would sacrifice. He made sure that it cost him something. You know, it's going to cost you to get into the presence of God sometimes. It'll cost you time. It'll cost you something that you wanted to do. And anyway, when the music started to play, the Bible says that David jumped up. He was like Mikhail Baryshnikov. He was jumping up and spinning about wildly. And in the process, his robe was coming up. And his wife saw it from her window, Michal. And she despised David for that, because she thought that a king shouldn't act that way. And David looked at her and said, "I'll be even more undignified than this. When it comes to worshiping God, you may mess up your hair, you may mess up your clothes, you may mess up your makeup. It doesn't matter. Because you are doing it for Him, not anybody else. And whatever it takes to worship God, whatever it takes to get into His presence, whatever it takes to deny yourself and get before God, and it doesn't matter who's watching you or what they think about you, the only thing that matters is what God thinks about you." Amen. And he said, "I'll be even more undignified than this. I might even take off my coat and spin it around." One day, we had a guy come to our church in Illinois, not my church, but the church I went to. And he had an amen towel. He was a wild evangelist. And he'd stand on a chair, and when he made a good point, he'd swing this amen towel. And everybody said, "Amen!" See, I have fun when I preach, because it's real to me. Now, to rejoice, it requires you to yield. "Go ahead, Jesus, make my day." You already made your day. You're carnal if you think like that. You want to feel something. You want it to sense. You want God to tingle your senses. Now, I guarantee you, when you get in God, your senses will feel it. But whether you feel something or whether you don't, it doesn't change God. The point is, you just simply yield. All right? So what we're going to do, two things today. We're going to yield, and we're going to rejoice. Are you with me? If not, I'm going to yield, and I'm going to rejoice, and I don't care what you do. Because I can't do it for you. Go with me to Genesis chapter 45. This is how it's all going to tie in. How does this tie? This is going to tie in with forgiveness. I would encourage you to study those scriptures that are in your bulletin about forgiveness. There's some on the backside too. If you have trouble forgiving people, what you need to do is you need to build your faith for it. And faith comes by what? Hearing by the word of God, right? So if you're weak in an area, what you have to do is you have to take some time to build up that area with the word. So you have to find out what God says about that area. And you got to go over it and over it and over it. And eventually you'll get revelation, which will help you perform it. Amen? Now, it can be quicker or sooner. It's really up to you. Okay? So Genesis 45, verse 1. Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, "Cause every man to go from me." And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known to his brethren. We know what happened to Joseph, don't we? His brothers sold him into slavery. How many of your siblings have sold you into slavery? But they didn't succeed, praise God. And then Joseph was shipped off to a foreign country. He was purchased like a piece of property. Notice that Joseph didn't call for slave rights when he was a slave. There was no revolution because he was a slave. See, because Joseph didn't think of himself as a slave. Instead, he chose to yield to the favor of God. He chose to have a good attitude. How do we know? Because he did the best work. Listen, someone with a bad attitude is not going to do good work. Your attitude will affect how you, what you do in life, how you live. And now, at this point in his life, his brothers are there in Egypt. And he already had the fulfillment of his vision of them bowing down to him. He didn't know that he was going to be the chief financial officer of Egypt for his brothers to bow down to him. He just kept that dream in his heart. He didn't know how it was going to happen, but he never let it go. And verse 2, he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Does my father yet live?" And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. Yeah, they didn't know he was Joseph. And bottom line, he chose to forgive his brothers. He could have seared over the thoughts of them throwing them into slavery, mistreating them, lying about him, abandoning him. He could have sat in the prison and just, you know how you get when you get angry? I wish they wouldn't have done that. Why did they have to do that? Well, you're yielding to anger. And you're letting anger take over, and you're about to do something that you're going to regret. Here's what Joseph did. All the things that his brothers did to him, he let it go. And he was now yielding to God. He was revealing himself, who he was at this point. And Joseph said unto his brothers, verse 4, "Come near to me, I pray you." And they came near, and he said, "I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved." Wow. "Nor angry with yourselves." You know, you got to forgive yourself to forgive others. Part of receiving forgiveness from God is receiving forgiveness for yourself. Forgiving yourself. "That you sold me here, for God did not send me, God did send me before you to preserve life." Doesn't matter how he got to Egypt, his purpose was to preserve life. You can complain how you ended up where you are, or you could just start doing what you're called to do. You could put me in the middle of the African jungle and I'd find some animals to preach to. I'd tell the leopards and the lions about their inheritance. Why? Because that's what I'm called to do. Verse 6, for these 2 years has the famine been in the land, and yea, there are 5 years in which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Who'd have thought that God could take a slave situation and turn it out so good? But see, when you yield to God, it's amazing what God can do. When you simply allow God to do what He wants to do, not my will, but yours be done. And Joseph's yielding caused him and his brothers to rejoice. Because he got to see his father again. His yielding ultimately led to rejoicing. So when you yield today, what's it gonna lead to? You know, when something isn't wrong in your body, there's pain. Pain is simply an indication that something isn't right. Something's out of place, and your body is wired with nerves, and when something's out of place, it sends a signal to the brain, and it makes you go, ow, ow. And then when you get into a place and you get that thing corrected, and you get it in the right place, you go, oh. Your ow turns into, oh, oh. Amen? God wants to turn your ow into oh. You can say amen or oh me, it's so anyway. So we need to yield right now. It's not anything that I can do for you. I've told you what it is. I've given you some things about what God says on it. And I've told you what rejoicing is. I've given you some things about what God said on it. Now it's up to you. I've done my part. Now it's your part. Whatever you need God to do, I want you to yield to that. If you need healing in your body, yield to healing. Say, I'm gonna stop doing what I know to do, and I'm just gonna allow God to heal me completely. Amen? So I want the worship team to come up if we can. And we're going to yield and we're going to rejoice. And what will that look like? I don't know. I'm not here to tell you how. I'm just simply here to do what God told me to do today. This is day number 2 of 28. And I want you to yield to God. And if He puts something on your heart that you wouldn't normally do, then you need to do it. And you got to do it for Him. Amen?
We're going to sing that song we sang at the end.
Yeah. That'll be good. So if you can, stand up. But you don't have to stand. If you've not accepted the Lord as Savior, you can do it right now. Number 2 is to return to the Lord. If after accepting Him, you kind of stray. Number 3 is to get filled with the Holy Spirit, to get baptized with fire. And then number 4, which occurred everywhere Jesus went, was to get healed. So to accept the Lord, return to the Lord, be baptized with the Holy Spirit, and be healed. Those are 4 main things God wants to do in every service.
Yes.
He wants to do everywhere.
Yes. Thank
For God you, so loved the
world.
He wants everyone in the world to be saved. It's not his will that any man should perish, but all should come to everlasting life. Now, how many really believe that this is a flourishing body of believers?
Amen.
Yes. Yes.
Well, you may not like this second question then. What are you doing to make that happen? I believe it. That's good. Now let's put some faith to those words.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Say this with me. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I love you.
I love you.
You are my Lord.
You are my Lord.
And Savior.
And my Savior.
I will never leave you.
I will never leave you.
I'm committed to you.
I'm committed to you.
I need all that you want me to have.
Need all that you want me to have.
I receive it right now.
I receive it right now.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I'm open.
I'm open.
And I'm willing to yield.
And I'm willing to yield.
To whatever you want to do with me.
To whatever you want to do with me.
In me.
In me.
And through me.
And through me.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise God. Anybody got anything else?
Well, you know, I want to share something with you,
yes,
in case you're having problems getting free. You know, sometimes it's locked up in the head.
Yes.
And people forget the combination to open it up. Here's the combination you can always remember and never forget. It's easy to remember. Satan is a liar.
Amen.
That's a combination.
Yes.
Anything that's locked up in your head that God would not say about you came from a thief. And to unlock it, you just have to declare that Satan is a liar. And that God's word is truth.
Amen.
You remember Jesus, what he said to Peter? Get thee behind me, Satan. Because Peter was starting to say something that wasn't supposed to happen when Jesus was telling him what was supposed to happen. This is right after Peter had the revelation that nobody else got. Upon this rock, that you are Lord. Peter got the revelation that Jesus was Lord. But soon after, he yielded to something that Jesus rebuked. So in your mind, Pastor was talking about yielding. If there are thoughts there that's causing you to yield, that's binding you to not be free for God to work in your life, the combination is, Satan, you are a liar.
Amen.
And that's followed up with, you're a thief. See what I'm saying? Nothing he says has any truth that could bring life. Mm-hmm. It all brings death. So we've got the life giver that gives us full access to him through the name of Jesus and the blood of Jesus. And so I want you to know that the sound that we're singing about, you know what they did at Jericho? What did they do at Jericho?
Shouted.
They shouted. Yeah. They marched around and shouted. You talk about being snooty. They marched around, they shout. And then in the Philippian jail, what did they do?
Shouted.
They worshiped and rejoiced, yes, right? And the whole prison shook.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So we've got this access. It's the same God. It's the same God. It's just different people. So it doesn't. The results are based on what we're doing.
Amen.
Not what he can do. Amen?
Yes.
So we can dismiss with that song. We'll just play it. You guys sing.
Yeah. Just pray a blessing over them.
All right, let's pray. Let's pray. And listen, I want you to think of yourself as free, because if you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, that just took away the keys from Satan. That he no longer should have all the access. He shouldn't have keys to your heart anymore. Amen? Now, the Bible says that the things that we are tempted with are our own lust. So that means it's things that are carnal, that flesh stuff that still keeps coming up. That's what tempts you to pull you away. But it's not God. The Bible says don't say that God tempts you, because he doesn't, because he's not tempted by anything, right? So you ask the Holy Spirit, who's your teacher and your guide, to show you what flesh stuff still has the opportunity to tempt you ahead of time. Don't wait till it happens. Amen? Have him start reveal it to you so you can change and be more like Christ. Amen. But even if you mess up, like we sang in the second song today, God's love never fails. Even if you mess up, his love isn't taken away. Amen. It's just that you got to walk through that whole temptation you just put yourself in. You know, it's like you got stuck with jelly on your hand. You got to go wash it off and all that. Father, right now, today, we pray a blessing in this atmosphere. Father, we thank you that your presence is here with us. We thank you, Lord, that you, of course, dwell in us. But we like when your manifested presence is in the atmosphere where we are. And Father, I pray over every person in the sound of my voice, and we break every stronghold. We say Satan is a liar, and that liar has already been defeated, and the price has already been paid. The blood of Jesus washes everything clean. And we thank you, Jesus, that because of you, we have access to the Father. We thank you, Jesus, that you are sitting right at the right hand of the Father. And when we go through you, we get to the Father. We thank you, Lord, that because of your close relationship with the Father, that we have access closely to the Father. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you continually hover and move in our midst and move in our atmosphere. We thank you, Father, that you send favor before us this week, that the grace of God is sufficient for us. We thank you for empowering us with your full mercy. In your full grace. And Father, today you said your mercies are new every morning, and that you daily load us with your benefits. So Father, as your children, we receive your mercy that's new today, and we receive all your daily benefits that you've already ordained for us today, because this is the day that you have made, and we rejoice and we are glad in it. So Father, as we go out, I thank you, Lord, that your angels are going before us. I thank you, Father, that you're preparing the way for us as we work this week, as we meet people this week. Let the presence of God be known and manifested around us, Father. Let our mouths open in boldness. Let us be bold witnesses for you, Father. In Acts chapter 2, they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they were witnesses. They became witnesses to those that are around them. So as we leave this place today, Father, as we fellowship, I pray that our words will break bondages and destroy yokes over people, and that people will be set free when we speak. And Father, it starts with us. So we speak freedom in our minds and freedom in our hearts. And Father, we pray that you'll heal our souls of any wounds that the enemy might have planted there through whatever has happened in life. And Father, we pray the blood of Jesus covers us inside and out. And we thank you, Lord, that you're making all grace to abound towards us. And Lord, we just give you praise. We give you honor, Lord, that's due your name. We say glory be to God. We say the Lord be magnified. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Lord. We offer up thanksgiving, and we offer up praise in the house today, Lord. From our hearts, we say thank you. And we praise you, Father, because you're worthy to be praised. We thank you, Lord. And we thank you, Father, that you will perfect that which concerns us this week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let's play that song as we rejoice as we leave today. Hallelujah.